Hey everyone, it's Cam Hurt, host of the Best Show Ever podcast, and we have got a second season coming out very soon that I am very excited about. We've got some very cool special guests, including musical acts that we all love, like Karina Reichman, Daniel Donato, Jake Brownstein from Eggy, Rick and Peter from Goose, and many more. Tune in for new episodes dropping on Osiris Media March 5th on the Best Show Ever podcast.
Hi, listeners. I want to tell you about a cause that I'm involved with at Heritage Radio Network. HRN is celebrating its 15th year, and to celebrate, we're deepening our commitment to giving voice to the next generation of food system storytellers, and we need your help. Our internship and fellowship programs help activate new possibilities for underrepresented and underestimated young people through experiential journalism, audio engineering, and production training. Through these unique programs, HRN helps food equity stewards build essential workforce readiness skills that expand their potential and foster economic mobility. Please consider supporting these critical programs. And with a minimum donation, you can be entered to win a dinner for two at an amazing restaurant in one of eight cities and tickets to a concert at a great venue in one of those cities. We have incredible partners across the country who have donated, as they also share our passion for helping to educate the next generation of food system storytellers. Check out heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. And make sure you donate before March 31st. Thank you.
Osiris.
My fellow people, how are you? This is a very special week. This is a very special time of year. Not going to lie to you. It's about to be Thanksgiving. It's also, conveniently, your girl Karina Reichman, me. It's my birthday on Thanksgiving. Ain't that some shit to be thankful for? I'm still in my 20s, but just barely. So keep that in mind as we age. This is great, man. This is good stuff. This is amazing. I am joined, as always, by my mainest man, Isaac I. Boogs Sloan. Isaac, how are you, dude?
Karina, you know the song Happy Birthday to You was written by two sisters?
No.
Yeah, I believe it was written by sisters, yeah.
That's cute. You think they were twins and wishing each other a happy birthday?
I don't know, but they really like altered the course of history with that one.
I mean, let me tell you, that one is sung all the time. Here's a question for you, Isaac. I think this is going to be generationally obvious for us, but you know, when you sing happy birthday to you, right? Happy birthday to you. Did you do, growing up, a cha-cha-cha?
Big time.
Big time.
Totally.
Right? Okay, so I was talking with some of my 40-year-old friends. They could not even believe what I was talking about with this whole cha-cha-cha nonsense. But I'm like, dude, if you were born in the mid-90s, you were definitely cha-cha-cha-ing it up when you were singing happy birthday. Am I right?
Absolutely. No, I mean, without fail, you would cha-cha-cha.
So for those of you who don't know, you know what I'm saying? You go, happy birthday to you.
Cha-cha-cha.
Happy birthday to you.
Cha-cha-cha.
Happy birthday, dear Skippy.
Cha-cha-cha.
Yeah.
If you're nasty.
Exactly. So it went something like that. You know, I don't know where that came from, but I got to say, it's really interesting that some people do it, some people don't. Some people looked at me like I got three heads when I was telling them that. Anyway, looking forward to my birthday, sort of. And looking forward to Thanksgiving, sort of. Just kidding.
Well, you know, we have some unfinished business on this podcast.
Oh.
We were remiss last week. We regret it. We left you hanging as our listeners.
In a big way.
In our game of two truths and a jam band lie.
And you know, for those of you listening, I don't know if you know this, there's a pocket of the internet. It's on Facebook. It's a Facebook group that some folks created called the Karina Reich Fam.
You talked about them in a big way last
week. Okay, cool. You see, I don't remember what happens week to week, people. But anyway, the Reich Fam was ablaze asking about the big reveal of Two Truths and a Jam Band Lie. And I did reveal it on there to this group of people, but we are going to bring it to the masses right now, Isaac. So your lie was
that I have never had dinner with Warren Haynes. I have interviewed Mickey Hart in blue face paint at Gathering of the Vibes in
2012.
And I also have a shirt that Paige McConnell gave me with Jerry Garcia's face on it that was handed to me at Set Break in Hartford, Connecticut in 2010.
You see, you just can't make this shit up. You cannot make it up.
Much like RJB, and I have never sat down to dinner, although I do hope that one day that happens.
I do too. I think both RJB and Warren would be phenomenal dinner companions.
And perhaps they can talk business. I think Warren Haynes would make a great podcast host.
I think Warren would make a fabulous podcast host. I think, you know, these should be two separate dinners to kick things off. You should have dinner with RJ and maybe me, and then you and Warren, and maybe me. No, I'm just kidding. No, just the two of you should you know, kick it proper first before we bring the whole squad together. But that's just me. That's just me. I'm into that. I like the one-on-one, you know, kind of. Otherwise, you know, it just gets drowned out, man. Just gets drowned out.
You
need the quality hang with both gentlemen because they're so important to us, special in our lives. And my lie, for the record, was I have never been skiing with Michael Kang from the String Cheese Incident.
Well, it's actually kind of a running joke between the two of us that the String Cheese Incident seems to not often look in your direction.
They don't pay me any mind. They don't know who I am. We're not friendly. Not because of any lack of trying or any, there's no bad blood. It's just like, it's really funny because like they're the one band in this sort of scene that I feel like I don't know at all. Like not even a little bit, not a single member. So if you're listening, String Cheese Incident, I'm ready to be pals with you. I've played Halloween like 6 times, more than I've played any other festival. It's always a great time. I think you guys are super swell. And it's time to break the bread. I'd like to have dinner with each member of the String Cheese Incident separately.
Well, the real kind of giveaway on that one was that you were skiing in your fib. And I think some people caught on that you're not a skier.
They did. They definitely did. But, you know, I'm from the Northeast.
That's true.
It's, you know, it would be less believable if I was from, you know, Texas. But, man, you girls, you know, from here, a lot of people we know love to ski. They love the après-ski. A lot of, you know, my band in particular, they are, we have a few days off on our upcoming tour that kicks off next week, people. Next week, we're going on Northeast tour in the coldest places in the country. and I think there will be some skiing that commences, you know, based out of Burlington, probably kicking it up to Stowe for some of my band. But yes, I will not be joining them. I will let them go. And I will busy myself with other general lunacy in the Burlington area. So, yeah, if you're in Burlington, you know, I'm going to be there a few days off after we play Nectars, and between Nectars and Portsmouth, New Hampshire, we're just going to kick it up there for a couple, two, three. So looking forward to it. Send me all your Burlington recs. I love coming up there. And yeah, the tour kicks off next Wednesday in Ithaca, 11:30. That's November 30th, Ithaca. Then the following day, Albany. Then the following day, Pembroke, Massachusetts. That's a Friday at Soundcheck Studios. And then the following day, Saturday night at Nectars, the legendary, a wonderful place to play and to be. Cannot wait to be there. That is Saturday, December 3rd. Then a few days off. And then that following Wednesday, Portsmouth, New Hampshire, the press room. The press room goes. Oh, snap. I cannot wait to be there. It's really exciting. Played there a million times with Marco. Always a time. Played there 3 sold-out nights in a row last year around this time with Marco Benevento. It was the time of my life. Followed by Portland, Maine, Sun Tiki Studios. Followed by Bridgeport, Connecticut, Park City Music Hall. Followed by, and finally, Pearl Street Warehouse in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. That's the whole tour. So I really hope to see you out there. Cannot wait to be bringing the music every night, constant with my dudes, making it happen. Anyway, that's it's on the docket. So it's like, you know, we got this Thanksgiving week, birthday week, chill week. Nothing chill about it. Very hectic. But then the following, it's going to really make this week look like a massage. Cannot wait. Anyway, good times all around, Isaac. It's a wonderful thing, and so much has happened. And you know, we joke all the time about how we every week, Billy Strings makes his way into our news. Am I right?
I know. Well, we were called out, actually, for not mentioning Billy Strings last week. And this week, obviously, we have more than enough to say about our man, William Apostle.
William, we got a lot on you, and we can't wait to keep talking about you. So, a lot of hot goss here. Of course, the very, you know, historic Trey and Goose tour came to a close last week. 8 shows. Incredible every night. People are hanging from the rafters, freaking out. Incredible times. And what could make this even more ridiculous but Billy Strings joining the madness?
Yes, he sat in on November 17th at the Eagle Bank Arena in Fairfax, Virginia, in the Trey Anastasio set. So you've already seen a set of Goose where Trey sits in on Hunger Sight and on Tumble.
Woo!
And then Trey Band comes out and plays almost a full set before introducing the man Billy Strings to play his original Meet Me at the Creek, great tune, and then follow it up with Possum, and then bring out Rick and Peter from Goose for the MoMA dance, Gotta Jaboo, leave the stage for an encore, and then Billy and Trey come out for Love and Regret, another Billy Strings original. Play Water in the Sky, a Fish song, and then bring everyone back out on stage for Back on the Train and Carini.
I mean, if that didn't flip the lid off your dome, you're not listening, because that is the craziest shit I've ever heard in my life.
We are in the season of feasts right now with this big holiday coming up on Thursday, and this is a feast for sure.
It's almost gluttonous.
It's almost gluttonous.
It's a hedonistic, absolute plethora of riches. We're not worthy. How is this all happening at the same, like, this is absurd. This is it's a ridiculous time to be alive. And then not only that, Isaac, so this all goes down with Billy, right? But then Billy played the anthem in DC, I believe.
Totally. 2 sold out shows, very tough tickets, which is amazing.
Incredible.
Go Billy.
Go Billy. We love to see it. And Billy, you know, he just can't stop sitting in. He just can't stop. And he crashed his own after party and sat in with Dopapod with other, you know, illustrious members of the Jam Band Illuminati, including members of Pigeons Playing Ping Pong and you name it.
Members of P-Funk.
P-Funk, yeah, dude. Things were popping off. And I love that there is somebody in our scene, or, you know, a scene that's adjacent, and whatever Billy might be, he's an absolute savage out there. Kid don't rest. He's out here making headlines every day in every way, and we salute him, and we salute everybody who is enabling all of this, namely Trey and Dopapod and everyone else. It is the best thing ever. And this is just, it really, talk about feast. We're very lucky to be seeing this.
It seemed really cool. And I listened back to the show on Live Fish. And also they posted an official video for Meet Me to the Creek. And it's just very cool. Meet Me at the Creek. It's just very cool to watch them play off of each other, Trey and Billy. And also just to hear, you know, the different kinds of sounds accompany each other. You know, Trey Band is a excellent, you know, tab, excellent lineup of musicians who are able to, you know, really kind of bring anything that's thrown their way to a next level. And they, you know, got to really display that aspect of what they do in kind of having these new original songs thrown at them and, you know, also jamming with more musicians than ever.
It's really unbelievable. All I can say is I hope that every member of the Trey Anastasio band and of Goose hibernates for the next week or so. I hope everybody is resting, because just the amount of work and shedding and, you know, stress and learning, like, you know, the amount that they've had to been on, quote unquote, is just mind-boggling, and it's a really historic thing that they just, you know, completed. So we're very stoked on all of that, and you know, we managed to make it to a show. I think a lot of our listeners made it to at least one show. So go Trey, go Goose, go Billy. It's your birthday. Unbelievable. He loves it.
Karina, what else do we have to talk about today?
We have a lot. We have a couple things on the docket. I'm wondering, you know, we did some free associating the other week, and people seemed, they wrote to me. They were like, more of that. And, you know, I agree. So I wonder if we do that now or later. What do you think, Isaac?
I think we should just get right into it with the free associating.
Dude, do you want to go first?
You like with you want me to present a word first?
No, I would. I got a word for you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, please.
Okay, Isaac, I need you to free associate on coffee.
Coffee. Coffee is America's drug of choice. I have gone down the rabbit hole on coffee many a time because there's, you know, we're living in an era of third wave coffee, where there are these sleek boutique coffee shops that do their own roasts, have their own methods of brewing, and it is just next level the way people get it with coffee these days. And at one point, I think I was very kind of enraptured by that, and I thought, I'm going to go deep with the rest of the coffee nerds and get down with everything there is to know about coffee. And then I realized I just like the coffee that you can get at the Zabar's grocery store on 81st Street. 81st Street?
Yeah, 80th.
80th Street. And I just like to do like a pour over coffee, and I don't need any of that fancy stuff. And it really, it's changed my life. It's definitely a lot less expensive. But you know what? It is really fun to visit a new town. Coffee tourism is a real thing. I almost called it toffee corism.
Totally cool.
I think toffee tourism would be a cool thing. You go to a new place and you explore their toffee purveyors.
Toffee and coffee go very well together, I would argue.
And toffee's kind of an underrated thing.
Toffee is delicious.
It's really good.
I'm a big fan. Yeah, I went to a restaurant the other night and had profiteroles where they asked you, do you want me to pour chocolate, you know, hot chocolate syrup all over this, or toffee syrup all over this? And I was like, holy shit, girl, you crazy for this one. How about chocolate? But I really thought about the toffee.
Well, toffee, it's like also like in the butterscotch family,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I have had like a butterscotch pudding once, or like a tart or something like that.
Holy shit.
You don't see that everywhere.
It's a really good thing. I'm
it's
a big
fan. It's definitely a good thing.
And toffee is caramel's cousin, as we're, you know, and all of it. I'm a big fan of all of that. But back to coffee.
Yes. Well, you also have a coffee item of choice, and it is the Inspiracion Palermo Cazar pods in the Nespresso.
That is really my drug of choice. I'm really not into anything but that at all, actually. That's really one of those a day, I've learned. That's my dosage. That's just great. And of course, you know, sometimes you're away, you can't have that. You got to get, you know, something else. As you say, coffee tourism never hurt nobody. But I really do find that caffeine level, the taste, the mouth feel, the crema that comes from that, for whatever goddamn reason, that's my shit. And you know, for those of you who don't know, Isaac and I had a brief moment where this is pre-pandemic, things were different, you know. I think we had more time on our hands. Maybe we didn't. I don't know. But we wanted to be the owners of and purveyors of a canned espresso company, served chilled, called Shot. All killer, no filler.
We actually made like a PowerPoint business presentation about this and like surveyed the market and sat down with different coffee companies, and we were like on email chains. This was right before the pandemic, and because you, I remember, yes, like production halted because they were like, we're not, what are you talking about?
It's we met with a lawyer, a copyright lawyer. Like, yeah. Things were really, when you think about it, we were actually moving pretty quickly.
We have like a spindle of stickers that we would have put on the can. We sized the cans. I mean, if anyone out there is listening and wants to get back on this project with us, we could use your help.
You know, we could use your help. And honestly, in talking this through, not the worst concept we've ever had. And it's funny, we had that concept and then all of a sudden it was like, High Brew has a version of this. Rise has a version of this. Blue Bottle has a version of this. But a lot of that was cold brew, not espresso served chilled. And the whole concept here, guys, is you know, you're on the road all the time trying to get an espresso vibe going on. And everywhere you go at these rest stops, sugary, frappuccino,
dairy,
milky, horror, like literal nightmare horror
added
story.
Added flavors. I can't do flavored coffee.
No flavors. We needed just two shots of espresso chilled. That was the whole concept, you know, which does differ from cold brew, you know. So anyway, if people are hearing this, you're liking what you're hearing, you know, you got a place to promote it. It's called Inappropriate Happiness, the podcast. I think it's a hit. Really good stuff. Great free association, Isaac. Unbelievable.
Thank you.
Fucking coffee, dude.
Should I give you something to free associate?
I don't know. What do you think?
I think I probably should.
Well, then, fucking A, dude.
Let's go with picture frames.
Picture frames. I love it. I love it. You know, picture frames, different than poster frames and different than fine art frames. Picture frames, we're talking small guys for the most part.
Yeah, I like the ones with the little flap that allow it to stand up, like the little stand.
But the flap that allow it to stand up, yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you right now, it's not my favorite thing. It's just not, I'm not a huge fan. It really makes me think of a person in an office who never sees their family, who needs to supplement that by putting many photos of their family in these little picture frames so that they can look at their family all day in place of the real thing. And that is sad a little bit. And I understand the need for it, and I think it's great. But that's what comes to mind to me first thing. It's not like, oh my God, I put all this fun shit in these picture frames. Like, no, to me, it's a coping mechanism for the most part.
That's really interesting.
That people use those things for, you know? And when you go to people's houses, typically you're seeing exactly that in picture frames. Pictures of themselves and their loved ones, which, by the way, beautiful, fantastic. But also, not really what I want to see. I want to see fine art. I want to see posters. I want to see things that get you off. You know what I'm saying? I want to see like some cool, trippy, awesome shit in a picture frame. Not, you know, and I hope, you know, hopefully you're seeing those people IRL, you know what I mean? And that your heart is filled with them and you don't need to see a photo of them to remind you of them.
How about digital picture frames where there's like a rotating slideshow of pictures in one thing that kind of looks like a frame, but really it's this like sort of mini monitor?
That's interesting. The little, you know, like with the whole NFT thing, you know, people are buying like sort of digital art and not knowing how to display it
because
right. There's no real way in which you can display it. So you're seeing people kind of purchasing things like that where it's like, wow, here's a rotating slideshow of my NFTs that I've purchased in a picture frame. Cool. Here for it. Haven't quite mentally adapted to that. You know what I mean? Haven't been like, wow, you know. What I could really go for is a rotating slideshow in a picture frame of all this swag digital art that I purchased with Ethereum.
Well, I don't know if I would put digital art in there, but I think it would be a kind of amalgamation of different pictures.
Of the two, okay.
Funny pictures, concert pictures.
Sure.
Pictures of people, pictures of things.
Pictures of people, yeah. You know, I mean, there's definitely a place for this. I don't mean to poo-poo the picture frame. I think the picture frame serves a great purpose for people who like it. And that's fabulous.
I want to know what the listeners want us to free associate on.
That is the real hot goss, Isaac. That is really what we want. So please write in, figure it out, DM me. Go to the Karina Reich fam on Facebook. I read all that shit. Really should stop reading it, but I definitely am all up in there. Let us know.
And I think our last story for today's episode is the uproar around Ticketmaster and Taylor Swift, who really doesn't get enough airtime on this podcast.
True, but she gets plenty of airtime everywhere else.
Right, that's probably, we probably balance it out.
Maybe that's why, you know, we sort of are like, you know, everybody else has got Tay-Tay covered. We need to rep Billy and Widespread Panic.
I also don't know anything about Taylor Swift.
Perfect.
Very little.
Well, great place to start. So I think this is interesting. You know, basically they assured her that their servers could handle the volume. The rupture a volume that was about to come. And
when tickets for her tour,
of course. And lo and behold, this was not the case. The servers crashed, everything went down, blah, blah, blah. So much so that she canceled the on sale. Which, you know, you never see that, Isaac. You know, in our world, you know, and this is fun. Like, I think in general, the general thing that I'd like to say about this is it's just Ticketmaster, we can wax poetic on that in a second, but it's just funny because in our world, you know, Phish, New Year's Eve, tough ticket, right? People clamor onto the servers trying to get in the door, anything to get in the door, right? And everybody is put into a queue and it's an absolute fucking nightmare and people sweat over this and everybody gets shut out. I mean, of course, people get through, but it's more common than not to not land any tickets and be very upset about this and turn to Fantasy Tour or Twitter or your homies or whatever it might be to try and rectify the situation, get yourself in the door, right? Now, this is, you know, the Swifties, obviously, this is not a cult phenomenon. This is as mainstream gets, I would argue. So to sort of bring that to the mainstream and people sort of see, like, what is going on in terms of what, like, sort of our people have dealt with for so long, I think is really... It's both humorous. It's sad. We're living in a crazy time with this ticketing company being the monopoly over everything. There's no, you know, but we are also living in a world run by monopolies. So that's sort of what we're looking at. And it is a crazy thing.
It's a crazy thing. And it's also like, I just don't know what people are going to do to rectify the situation. It's only gotten harder to get tickets. There's all of these efforts towards verified fans and, you know, all of these sort of stop the scalping things, and it feels like it's only made getting tickets actually harder, right?
I think that's accurate. And now, you know, there's obviously this new, you know, what's it called? Diamond pricing.
Platinum.
Or platinum. Sorry, that's what I meant. Platinum. And, you know, tickets that are put on sale by the promoter and by the artist and, you know, on all, you know, whether it's Access or Ticketmaster, whatever it might be, that are gauged, you know, the pricing is gauged by demand. So you can be on there trying to buy a ticket that would normally go for $100 that is now being sold for $5,000 if enough people are on there trying to buy at the same time, which presents a very interesting...
It's also like a bit of a sketchy kind of algorithm. Like, how is that exactly working? They're like, oh, we have 5,000 people on here. I mean, it's got to be more,
sure,
right? More like 35,000 people
sure
on here trying to buy tickets. Let's jack it up. Like,
what? That's the vibe.
That's the vibe.
And like a lot of those very, you know, quote unquote, good tickets get put aside for exactly that, you
sure
know? And it's a really interesting, you know, ethically questionable. Sorry, the words are not coming out. Ethically questionable on some levels. And, you know, a lot of that is stuff that is decided by the artist.
At
least it is always run by the artist, that we know. You know what I mean? So like when that shit happens and the, you know, the top, you know, the first four rows of the orchestra are put aside for that sort of, you know, flex seating, it's not like they're pulling one over on Mitski or whoever. They know exactly what's going on with that. And it's just, you know, it's a fickle time. It's a fickle marketplace. It is a fickle industry. And sometimes when you're hot, you're hot. And people want to capitalize on that. And, you know, all on some level, all the power to them. On another level, what the ever-loving fuck is going on? It is so complicated. And, you know, it's very interesting that the Swifties, if you will, are facing these sorts of struggles and strifes at this current moment. And, you know, we just hope that the problem gets rectified and everybody gets in.
Well, I think it's also, you know, like the Swifties, Taylor goes out on tour, I don't know when the last time was, maybe 5 years ago?
It was a hot minute ago, I believe.
It was a hot minute ago. So they are also a little bit out of practice. I mean, they probably go see other things, but a little bit out of practice with Ticketmaster. Like, you know, Phish fans dedicate so much time to, like, figuring out the best way in the door. You know what I mean? Like, I do feel for all the people out there that are looking at this with... fresh eyes thinking, what on earth? You know, like, that's got to be jarring.
It's got to be. And so many young kids who have no concept of what this all looks like, and the poor parents trying to figure this all out, who also have no goddamn clue.
Right, there's parents involved.
You know, there's got to be a lot of parents, a lot of kids trying to go see their favorite artist, and it's just become, you know, I can picture a lot of tears, a lot of tantrums, a lot of misguided parents who don't know what to do, and you can't blame them. You can't blame them. So, a lot to say on the subject, a lot of questionable stuff, a lot of, you know, this is the way it is. Should it be the way it is? Who's to say? Probably not. But there are these systems in place that are in place. And it is a shocking time to be alive and to be a rapturous music fan trying to go and see your favorite artist.
Yes, and there are some success stories. I know it's few and far between, but occasionally you do hear about somebody who got in at the price they wanted to get in at and were able to attend the show without paying an arm and a leg. And, you know, God, we hope for more of that.
We sure do. And we also shout out to the concept of miracling.
Totally.
Miracle culture, you know, and it's definitely a hippie thing, but I would love to see it, you know, permeate into all sorts of, you know, areas, which I'm sure it has and will continue to do, you know, when people obviously in our space, for the most part in the jam world, people put their fingers up looking for a ticket. Somebody has an extra, they miracle it to them, and boom, that person gets into the show for free. It is a beautiful act of kindness towards a stranger who likes the same band as you. I support that wholeheartedly. It's probably one of the most exciting things to happen to you if you are a young teenager. I can't even, you know, I'm literally flashing back to times in which it happened to me and I like thought I was gonna hyperventilate from excitement. Like, truly an amazing gift you can give another person. So more of that. Taylor Swift fans, if you got tickets, go to the show. Taylor Swift fans, if you didn't get tickets, put your fingers in the air. And hopefully people will understand what that means.
I, in 10th grade, was miracled into a Pavement show at Central Park Summer Stage. And I was so excited that I ran across the street. And if you know Central Park Summer Stage, you'll know that there is a biking and jogging lane right before the venue. And so I ran from one side to the other and a runner was jogging past me and like threw me out of the way. And I went from like elation to like confusion and upset and like embarrassment.
Ow. Yeah. Oh my God. But then it was, you probably shook it off. And
yeah,
you got
totally
in there.
I learned my lesson. Look both ways.
Sure.
Beware of joggers.
Dude, I have run into more than a couple joggers and not when I was, you know, miracled into a Pavement show. So at least you had an excuse, you know?
I hit the pavement.
You hit the pavement, man. You hit the pavement. And on that note, I think we need to put a bow on this thing, Isaac. I am very excited for this Sunday. Osiris, the very fine people who put this podcast on for you, the people, they are putting on an event at the City Winery. It's me, Alex Skolnick, and Scott Metzger, and some very special guests, an evening of conversation and music. I cannot wait. I spent a good many hours with my good pal Alex Skolnick yesterday in his Park Slope apartment playing music together, which was such a blast. And we're preparing a very special show for the people. Can't wait to talk. Can't wait to play. Osiris puts this podcast on. They make it all possible. Shout out to our man RJB, the maestro. And shout out to our girl Marlo Shankweiler, the producer on our end. Things are just flowing and effervescent as always around here. And Isaac, as per usual, what an absolute thrill to shoot the shit with you.
Always a joy. We wish everyone a good holiday.
Enjoy yourselves. Tell people you love them.
Listen to some live music.
Get absolutely stupid
with
it.
Listen to some studio albums.
Listen to some studio albums. Honestly, that's what the artist intended you to hear first. And we wish you a really wonderful rest of your week. And next time we speak, I will be 1 year older and 1 year wiser.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. City kids don't walk on grass, oh no. Osiris.
One Hit Thunder is a podcast where we both celebrate and have a good laugh about bands and artists that had just one hit that we all know. Each week, we're joined by a guest from the world of music or comedy to learn more than you ever thought you would about some songs that you can't forget. And we decide if they brought the One Hit Thunder or were nothing more than a one hit blunder. Look, if you listen to the show, you're probably going to laugh, and I guarantee you're going to crush next time the bar has music trivia. Tag Team, Jane Child, Meredith Brooks, Looking Glass, Sean Mullins, Eiffel 65, EMF, Crash Test Dummies, Crazy Town, Chumbawamba. We have hundreds of episodes in our back catalog and a new episode each week, so pass the Dutchie, make sure you're connected, and subscribe to One Hit Thunder wherever you get your pods.
Hey, this is Dewey Halpas, host of Peer Pleasure on the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. Join me each week as I explore another long-form conversation with one of your favorite musicians, actors, comedians, or creatives. From Chino Moreno of the Deftones, John Gorley of Portugal the Man, to Fat Mike from NoFX, and Ian MacKay from Fugazi and Minor Threat, we go all over the map. From Fall Out Boy to Slayer, Peer Pleasure has it all. Check us out now on Sound Talent Media.